part three. I'll talk about transformation. The scripture reading will be from Romans chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 1 through 2 from the Message paraphrase because I love the language in these verses. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You know, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Here ends the reading of these words inspired by God. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. As a child, and I'm dating myself here, one of the first non-cartoon TV shows that I was really hooked on, that I'm willing to admit anyway in public, and I do this a little sheepishly, was the non-cartoon Incredible Hulk show. Now, I realize that Hulk was also a Marvel cartoon, and I'm sure it all came from there, but that didn't really do it for me. The sci-fi show captured my imagination, so don't judge, people. In the Incredible Hulk show, of course, Dr. Bruce Banner, a physically weak, socially withdrawn, emotionally reserved physicist, lives a sort of double life, and following his accidental exposure, whoops, to gamma rays during the detonation of an experimental bomb, whoops, Bruce Banner can, without much warning, physically be transformed into the Hulk when subjected to maybe emotional stress or at or against his will, often leading to destructive rampages and conflicts that seem to complicate Banner's otherwise boring civilian life. Now, inevitably, something happens, and you know it'll just be a matter of seconds when you feel this coming on, and his eyebrows grow out 3 feet and turn into giant fuzzy caterpillars, and the nuclear green muscles of Lou Ferrigno come bursting through his clothes, leaving him, thankfully, conveniently clothed always from the waist down, at least most of the time, and then he springs forth into action to save the day using those giant green bulging muscles and physical strength of this brute, of this Hulk, if you will. Now, I remember watching this show always, and I didn't think about it until I was studying the scripture this week and realized that there was a word that used to always be used in the Incredible Hulk show that is actually also in our scripture lesson for today, only not in English, in the original language of Greek with which this was written, when Paul is writing, "Do not conform, but be transformed," or as our message said, "be changed." That word for change or transformation is a word they used every week almost in the Incredible Hulk, metamorphosis. You know, when the eyes turn green, "You won't like me when I get angry." That's all I got imitation-wise for it. But you get, so this change, this transformation would happen in this metamorphosis. It's the same word. By the way, it's the same word as I said in our scripture lesson from just a moment. Paul said, "You'll be changed. You'll be metamorphosized," Paul said, "from the inside, though, out." This word for change or transform, this is where we get our word metamorphosis. It's really a fascinating concept. Paul is suggesting, is he suggesting that we can all, in the blink of an eye, have giant rippling green muscles? I've prayed for that and never had that, all except the green part, of course. But I think it's no less dramatic, even though it may be a little less visible, what he's talking about. I cannot precisely pinpoint the reasons that it seems to me that so many of our siblings in the Christian faith have distorted the scriptural and traditional teachings about transformation as the years have gone by. I don't have a scientific poll to show you how this has changed. I just have my own experiences and what I've experienced in churches and seminaries and along the way, the folk theology, you know, the unwritten, unofficial theology by which most of us operate in our faith, kind of has a mixed message what we communicate about transformation. We either make it sound magical, or we make it sound scary, or we make it sound like I have to abandon who I am in order to become someone better. But that's not really the truest understanding of transformation in regards to what we know about Scripture, the tradition of the Christian church, reason, and of course our own personal experiences. Transformation does not mean to imply in a scriptural sense that we are inherently bad to start with. Transformation does not mean that we need to abandon our sense of self or identity as who we are to become someone better. We're the same people, remember, according to our tradition, that God looked at along with all of creation after birthing it all into existence and said, "Behold, it is good." We are beloved, just like we are, created as we understand it, in the image of the divine, as the psalmist put it, fearfully and wonderfully made. We're pretty good in God's eyes already. Now, I suspect some of the faulty theological thinking that hijacked this thinking about transformation is always some of the folks, and if we could figure out who they were, we could just get them to a church meeting. I'm sure we could solve it. But, you know, they're probably the same folks that made heaven about an afterlife, primarily, instead of about building a beloved community here on earth, or the way that we treat one another and relate to each other. That is what makes this kingdom, to use Bible language, of God. I'm sure it's the same crowd. You know, the notion that we are lacking or flawed or hopeless without any hope of consistent goodness is not a teaching that actually is very ancient at all. It's a distortion brought on by the influence of some pretty well-meaning but troubled teachers within our faith traditions. Namely, if you want to blame somebody, I blame St. Augustine. When we find ourselves believing the worst about each other, when we find ourselves believing the worst about ourselves, and in humanity in general, we're not actually believing the earliest, most historic teachings within the Christian tradition. We're believing someone else's interpretation of what was taught in our faith. The hope of transformation within the deepest, most ancient Christian understanding is actually an extremely positive thing built on a very positive view, not a negative one, of humanity. So you see, when Paul says, be changed, be transformed, be metamorphosized, he is not commanding that we give up our own unique personality or gifts, but rather he is suggesting that we can become even better, a higher version of ourselves. Who we more truly are is just beneath the surface if we would just believe it. He's suggesting that even the daily ordinary stuff can become transformed, can become extraordinary when done as an offering. Mother Teresa said, do simple things with great love, and it changes the world. He's giving a warning. Do not be conformed into the patterns of this world. What do the patterns of this world try to conform us and shape us to believe about ourselves, about humanity, about God, or about the church, for that matter? They teach us that nothing we ever really do will matter. The ways of the world tell us that, you know, the way to progress is to defeat others who have a voice that is similar to yours, and to step out in front before it's too late to get the limelight. And, you know, transformation, though, is possible, and it doesn't mean that we need to cease being ourselves. These short two verses, Paul says what he really means. Ordinary stuff that we already do can become transformative in our own lives and in the lives of others when done with hearts of love and hands of service. Now, we don't abandon ourselves. We don't abandon our bodies or our spirits in order to experience transformation. Paul says here it happens from the inside out, starting right where we already are. So we begin to readily recognize that God, what God wants from us is to more fully embrace who we are, and whose we are, and to be able to quickly respond to those opportunities in front of us, to share who we are with others as a gift, as an offering. And so we do not run from who we are, but rather we more fully embrace and acknowledge our identity, warts and all, and we start accepting, we refuse to start accepting the status quo less and less. And so our faith identity, not our political affiliation, not our family name, not our pet hobby horses, you know, our faith identity begins to be different than what the culture says, because we are compelled to work for the greater good more and more, and not just our own interests. So all of this goodness, this desire for wholeness, for peace, for love, for genuine acceptance, it springs forth not from somewhere else or someone else, but as a seed planted deep inside us that God has given to us. I guess you could say all this goodness is already there, but God, through our own experiences, brings out the best that is already within us, and then we begin to name it. And when we name progress, we call it transformation. Now, there are many places in nature where metamorphoses occur. Transformation. I tend to overuse the whole butterfly and the cocoon and that one. That's a favorite of mine. But this week I thought, how can I convey this in a different way? And I realized as I prepare for the message that there are these rocks called metamorphic rocks. Normally formed in the earth's crust, their very name, metamorphic rocks, lets us know that these rocks, they undergo some sort of change, right, in their life. Geologists tell us usually that metamorphic rocks are formed either by exposure to heat or else some kind of very great pressure. And either the heat or the pressure or some combination of both heat and pressure on these rocks in the earth's crust leads to their radical transformation. And so when existing rocks come into contact with either lava or magma that comes up from the earth, or maybe they're in between two plates, on the edge of two plates underneath the earth's surface that are pushing against one another, there's heat, there's pressure. Instead of folding under the pressure, they transform into harder, more durable, one could argue it's more subjective, but more beautiful rocks. These rocks are the same, and yet they become different. So there's lots of ways these things happen. I'm certainly not a geologist, but these rocks are transformed by either the pressure or the heat. They don't become weaker. They generally become, as I said, stronger, more beautiful, and even more useful from the challenges and the heat that they face. And my friends, like these metamorphic rocks, we experience a great deal of heat and pressure as well from outside ourselves. The patterns of our society and culture that we just think of as the norms. We hear from our politicians on a daily basis that personal wealth is more important than human compassion. But the way of Jesus says that is not true. Stay true to the way of Jesus. Human compassion is always greater than personal wealth, even if it's not an easy thing to live out. We're led to believe by the forces, the powers that be out here in the world, that those who would come from outside the borders of our country are coming to do us harm, we're told. We're programmed to believe from outside in the culture that one's outward appearance is more important than one's inner character. We're told from out there that, you know, at least if you believe what you absorb through the folk theology so present in many of our churches, especially in the Bible Belt, we are to believe and behave as though an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is the real Christian way. But we know better, even when we don't do better. We must not be conformed, dear friends, to the lies that go against the way of Jesus that we're so desperately wanting to stay within. We must choose transformation, not conformation, into the ways that our world would shape us. And so, strengthened by the power of faith lived out in community, we, the people of God, must pull together and draw strength from one another and rise up and remind ourselves that all the heat and the pressure that we feel around us to give in to these norms will not be our undoing, but rather will be the key for our transformation together as the people of God. The heat and the pressure, they will only serve to transform us. They will shape us. They will actually guide us into the ways of love and peace with justice, following the way of Jesus. Compassion, we know this, but I'm going to say it out loud. Compassion is our norm. Forgiveness is not the exception, but our rule for daily living. Strangers and foreigners from other lands are not to be feared, but to embraced. We know this. We need not look into the mirror with one ear tuned into the radio or television to tell us whether or not we are truly beautiful, but rather listen to the still small voice within us that reminds us, you are good. We, as the people of God, will never accept revenge, war, greed, poverty, hatred, or bigotry. These things will not define us as the people of God. We will feel the heat. We will feel the pressure as we try to go against that social norm. And together, we, the people of God, from deep within us, will find our highest, best selves are being transformed, and we, the people of God, will take the truth of this transformation, the truth of a more excellent way, as the Apostle Paul called it elsewhere, into our ordinary, daily, mundane, boring existence. And friends, I believe, can you imagine it with me, that we will be the change God wishes to see, at least in our corner of the world. Maybe so.